Fall in Edmonton is one of my very favorite times and places. But I wrote this on Monday. So take that into consideration. Plates spilling over with fresh vegetables, the smells and sights and the feel of autumn filling our senses. It can be plus 10 and minus 10 in the same day, or worse. Sweater weather is my very favorite of all the weathers. Have you ever noticed the colors of our university teams and our football team? Green and gold. Those colors were chosen by the founders of the U of A when they watched the changing colors in the river valley. Yellow poplar leaves shining next to deep green evergreens. And now we find ourselves here on this day, this long weekend that is called Thanksgiving. The calendar brings us here during this time of harvest and plenty and incredible beauty, and I don't think that's a coincidence. But what does this really mean? How do we get thankful? How do we live lives of gratitude? Boys and girls, what do your mom and dad say if you forget to say thank you? I hand you a cookie, and you say nothing, and then your mom or dad says, "What do you say?" Right? That's your cue. You say, "Thank you." I know, because I do it. But gratitude doesn't grow in our hearts because we say thank you, does it? In fact, I would guess that every time your parents say thank you, you're not filled with gratitude, but maybe a little bit of annoyance. "I was going to say thank you." Is that what you say? That's what you're thinking, I think. Gratitude, this mindset and heart set of thankfulness, isn't about manners. No matter how many times I think I need to tell Micah to say thank you, I cannot fill him with gratefulness in his heart. And what's more, having those lovely manners doesn't mean we are truly grateful. If your mom never has to tell you to say thank you, it doesn't really mean you're full of thankfulness, does it? The story of thankfulness that we are looking at today is not a story of manners. It is not a story of try harder and be better. Being grateful isn't about good manners. Being grateful is about discovering the grace of God in the pain and celebration, in the simple and the spectacular. Today's scripture story is about a man named Naaman. Now, Naaman was a bigwig, a head honcho, a boss. He was the commander of the Aramean army that was the country we now know as Syria. He was the man in charge and had power at his fingertips. But Naaman had a problem that all his power could not fix. Naaman had leprosy. We've heard about leprosy before in the stories of the Bible. It's a horrible skin disease. And back at the time of Naaman, there was no cure for leprosy like there is today. Naaman, this powerful man, wanted to be healed, and his help came from a most unlikely source. His wife had a slave girl who said, "I wish my master would go see the prophet in Israel. He would heal him of his leprosy." Now, this girl was the most insignificant person in the whole country. A child, a slave, a Jew, and a girl, these things made her very unimportant in her time and culture. In fact, the Book of Kings doesn't even record her name. But she was the one through whom Naaman's cure came. Now, Naaman had tried everything he could to rid himself of this horrible disease. The pills and therapies, doctors and medicines, the positive thinking and prayers hadn't worked. He had tried everything and was at his wit's end. So when he heard through this unlikely source that there was someone in the neighboring country of Israel that could cure him, he jumped at the chance. Reverend Dr. Alan Effa, in writing about this passage, says, "Crisis can cause even the hardest of hearts to be sensitive to God's possibilities," and that's what happened for Naaman. So he loaded his camels with gifts and headed straight to Israel. The prophet who the little girl had been talking about was named Elisha, and he heard about Naaman, so he sent word to have Naaman come to him. When Naaman arrived, Elisha didn't even come out of his house. Instead, he sent a messenger and told Naaman, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy." What? Naaman was so angry. First, this prophet doesn't even come out to see me, a powerful commander. Then he tells me to go and wash in the nasty, shallow, muddy Jordan River 7 times. But even Naaman's anger wasn't enough to stop him. He was desperate, And so he went and dipped himself in the nasty, shallow, muddy Jordan River 7 times. And when he came out of that grimy water, his skin was as soft and healthy and smooth as a baby's. Now, I bet he didn't even shower or dry off. He headed straight back to Elisha and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all your world except Israel. So please accept these gifts." And he offered Elisha 750 pounds of silver and 150 pounds of gold and 10 sets of clothing. That would be about $177,000 in silver and about $2,250,000 in gold. That's a pretty serious thank you gift, isn't it? But Elisha wouldn't accept it. No matter how much Naaman tried to convince him to take it, he just wouldn't. So Naaman scooped up some of the soil from this place where he had been so miraculously healed, and took it home with him as a reminder of how the God of Israel had healed him. He vowed to worship the God of Israel for the rest of his life. Naaman was transformed both inside and out by the God of Israel. Naaman was truly thankful. What is the good news of this story for us? Do we all have to have leprosy or some horrible disease and then be healed in order to be truly grateful? I don't think so, but I do think that what we can learn from this story is that gratitude comes from discovering the grace and presence of God in the real life of this world. It doesn't come from trying harder or doing better or having good manners. Like Naaman, we have to be willing to go out into the world, dipping ourselves in the lives of others and engaging in the pain and celebration of life. This is where we find gratitude welling up in us. Living a life of gratitude is a practice of spiritual formation. Many of the things we do, like worship, singing, quiet prayer, and coming here to gather each week, are all about helping us discover the grace of God and living our lives in the light of that grace. This is part of spiritual formation. It is both an inward and an outward journey, looking inward at the presence of God in our lives and looking outward at the presence of God in the world. There are so many studies you can read from places like Harvard and Berkeley that tell us that living lives of gratitude make us happier. But we know from experience that telling ourselves to be thankful just isn't enough. Real gratitude comes from engaging in the world around us, opening ourselves up to pain and suffering, risking, giving, being vulnerable. But the truth is that for many of us, there are so many reasons not to feel grateful. Real, honest reasons. I'm sick. I'm suffering. I'm lonely. I've been abandoned. I've been hurt. And so often when we think about the practice of gratitude, we feel the same way we do when we think about that gym membership that we haven't used or that bag of chips we ate when we should have had carrots. So often thoughts on gratitude are linked to shame. Practicing gratitude, that inward and outward search for the grace of God in the world, isn't spurred on by guilt and shame. We must experience the grace of God within our own hearts and be awakened to it in both the beauty and pain of the world if it is to take hold of us and transform us into grateful people. For Naaman, the transforming presence of God didn't only change his health. It didn't just free him from leprosy. It changed his heart and his whole life. Naaman's 7-time dip in that nasty, shallow, muddy Jordan River is a reminder to us of the unexpected places where we can witness the grace of God in the world and there be filled with gratitude. Gratitude is what flows over us when we understand the depths of our blessing. It is what washes over us when we catch a glimpse of the presence of God on earth. Real thanksgiving comes in waves upon the driest souls when God's mercies are discovered. Now, kids, have you ever had your parents tell you to drink up your glass of water when you aren't really thirsty? Drink up, your body needs it, they say, and they're right. But how do you feel when you have a glass of water after a long hike or after playing in the sun for hours? No one needs to tell you to drink up the water in those moments, do they? This is a little bit like gratitude. When we discover the grace of God in us and all around us, say thank you isn't something we need to hear. Our lives become songs of thanksgiving. When the dehydrated soul receives a sip of God's grace, gratitude flows. This practice of living a life of gratitude, like all spiritual practices, takes, well, practice. And we never perfect it. It's not about doing better. It's about refocusing, rearranging our perspective. It is about opening our eyes to the movement of God in the world, about discovering the never stopping, never giving up, undying, always and forever love of God present in even the toughest of circumstances. This is what we have to be grateful for. It's not that we have the perfect life, or that we have the miraculous healing, or that we've received that thing that we are sure will bring us happiness. This, my friends, is the good news. God will never stop showing up in our lives. God will never abandon us. Whatever road we find ourselves on, God is there, loving, bringing comfort, being fully present. When we adjust our perspective and focus on God's grace and love in the world, we are on the path of gratitude. Now, this morning, we want to take a couple of moments to practice that inward and outward movement of gratitude together. In your bulletins, you'll find a couple of little tools. There's a tag that looks like this, and I'm going to ask you to take a moment and to write some words of gratitude to God on this little tag. That's the inward movement of gratitude to God for his work in our lives. The other thing you'll find in your bulletin is this little thank you card. We have given you this so you can take a moment to write a note of gratitude to someone to thank them for the way they've cared for you or encouraged you or blessed you. Trying to give us opportunities to work on these practices of the inward and the outward expression of gratitude in the world. Once you have written on your ribbon, I will ask you to bring it forward. We're going to hang it on our little tree of gratitude. Did you wonder why the tree was just naked like that? It's because that's where we're going to hang our little ribbons of gratitude. If you don't want to bring yours forward, hand it to a child that's near you and ask them to bring it forward. But we're going to take a few moments now to write on the ribbons for gratitude to God and then on these cards to pass to one another or to give to someone in your life. Let's pause and open our eyes and hearts to the movement of God around us while Gerald plays.